Welcome to the third instalment of the Shut Up and Ride podcast, or pub pod, sponsored, of course, by the brilliant Charles Owen, who, by the way, I need to give a shout out to Jade from Charles Owen, because she has been absolutely amazing. Can we give Jade a round of applause? Because she has just been incredible. Jade has been helping me loads, so I love her. So thank you very much, Jade. Yes, she answers text messages. She's learned to ring Ben.
You loved coming to meet me at your horse lodge.
Anyway, we're going off topic.
That sounded
dodgy. That did sound really dodgy. Right, so we have our next guest. He's been to the Olympics. Is it four times? Four times he's been to the Olympics.
Yep, four times.
Four times. He's an Irish legend. He's the brilliant. Austin O'Connor is in the house. Thank you, round of applause. Slightly begrudgingly, you're like, you look a little bit nervous, Austin.
No, I'm okay. I'm in a pub.
You're in a pub.
my second home.
Yeah, we couldn't have a pub pod without having an Irishman in it.
Absolutely.
Literally, I just said to you, he's already, like, fucked my opening line. Because I said to him, when I read up about you on your Olympic page, one of these, like, it says there's always, like, a quote. Riders have quotes. And I said, Austin, your quote's really good, and I'm just checking that you did say it. And I said, your quote was, when it comes to horses, be patient. Be very patient. He was like, I don't remember saying that.
It's a lot of bollocks, but it is actually true, whoever came up with it.
I think you must have done in a moment of genius.
Yeah, I'm sure.
In a moment, in a pub.
Yeah.
There's lots of patience involved. But before we start, I would like to go back a step.
Oh.
Ben and Richard, I thought your interview conversation was seriously refreshing.
Oh.
For the first time in 50 years. I've actually heard a bit of true horsemanship being spoken in public.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Aww.
I mean it.
I thought everybody was bored. So.
No, the end of it was boring. But the first 20 minutes was actually true horsemanship conversation. It took me back to my youth. No bridles, no saddles. Communicating with horses. Natural horsemanship and not the natural horseman bullshit that we get told about so often now.
And anyone listening to this on a podcast, go back and listen to the second pub pod with Richard and Ben, and then you will be inspired. That's so nice of you to say.
No, I meant it. It's because we do listen to so much shite, don't we?
Yes.
And I do not do listening to shite, but I actually enjoyed listening to these guys, as I say, for the first 20 minutes. It was proper horseman talk. Thank you.
And before coming on this, had you seen Ben? Have you seen anything that he's done?
I knew absolutely nothing about Ben, and I thought, oh God, here we go again.
Did you hear the word? Which bit scared you? The Liberty trainer bit, or his fantastic hair, like the chiseled good looks?
Well, I love the hair. I'd like myself. But no, it was just a true, honest, natural conversation. And I leave it at that, but, you know, it took me back to my early days when it was, I would like to say, my father and my uncles, they were natural horsemen. There was no technical bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had rapport.
Mm-hmm.
And probably gone back to Lucinda's day, to be honest. It was just natural horsemanship, natural communication.
Mm.
I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because that's one thing that I always think with you, especially with your cross-country riding, it's very natural. Your reactions and responses are... It's a very natural thing for you.
Thank you. I was privileged to grow up in a natural environment, a hunting environment. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of conversation. There wasn't too much bullshit, really. It was one or two words, really.
That's what Austin likes.
And that was, you know, I had to keep listening to those one or two words because I wasn't very good at school, so...
Because I wanted to go... So, Austin was the winner of the 5-star at Maryland, and... The first thing that you said was, people like me don't win 5 stars. Mm. And I just wondered what you meant by that.
I suppose what I meant by it, not that I wasn't good enough, but I'm not one of these modern bullshit talking people. I would consider myself in the Lucinda Green era. She's a bit older than me. the Mark Codds, the Andrew Nicholsons, the no-nonsense. There was no social media, there was no dressing everything up. Whereas nowadays, I think, you know, look, they're great riders and great jockeys, but so much of it has been done through the media and through, you know, social licensing or whatever the hell you'd want to call it. Whereas, you know, I suppose I thought that ship had sailed because I probably felt that I was an era behind.
Right, okay.
But I obviously wasn't.
No. And it was, can we just have a moment? It was an incredible win and it was obviously an incredible horse. And I just let five-star winner, let's give him a round of applause. It was amazing. It was amazing.
But it kind of, if you wind it right back, I mean, Austin's always been like that. I remember 1999.
Oh, what?
No, you weren't born in 1999.
Don't, he has a weird knowledge. What's your years that you know about eventing? What's your
99's a little bit beyond it.
Yes, yeah, 96 is normally his limit.
Yeah.
A weird eventing knowledge. 96. Yeah.
But because you were fourth that time. It was, and it absolutely chucked it down.
That was Badminton, not Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Badminton. Yeah. And you fourth there, and it absolutely chucked it down with rain, didn't it?
No, it was just wet. at the end of the day, you look at the three people in front of me, Kerry Milligan, Mark Todd and Andrew Nicholson. It was wet, and then you were just getting a few new age, younger people through, and oh my God, there's a bit of rain, let's go home. I kept going, and the old boys kept going.
Well, I remember reading something. I might have this wrong. I'm reading something. I think Lucy Wiegersma wrote, and she said something along the lines of, "I was just about to go cross country, and Austin had just been round, and he was lighting a cigarette, and his fingers were shaking because he just finished."
That was beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually brings me on to another problem. I gave up the bloody cigarettes. Now I've got to take these not fat injection things.
Oh!
get ready for badminton this year.
To trim down.
So we're on the lose weight. So I'm only joking. I'm not on the lose weight injections.
So when did you stop smoking?
1st of November.
10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Never felt so fit in my life.
Has it made a natural difference?
No.
No.
Even more cantankerous.
I actually lived in Ireland when the smoking ban came in, and I was in a pub called Jimmy's in Curraghclaw in Wexford. And everyone in the pub was like smoking, and Jimmy, who owns the bar, was like, no. You're not allowed to smoke in here. The guard will come and I'd be told off. And they're like, where are you? Sorry about my accent, but I'm going to have a go. I tell you, Jimmy, where can we smoke? And he's like, well, you can go in a place where there's it out in the porch. So they came and the guard came. Everyone was smoking in the porch. And the guard were like, you're not allowed to smoke in here. And they're like, well, where are we allowed to smoke? And he said, well, it's not allowed a roof. So Jimmy came out with a broom and just smashed a hole in the roof of the porch and went, will that do? And they were like, I tell you, you'd be fine. It was brilliant.
It was quite ironic. It came in Ireland before it came in here.
Yeah, it did.
And they took it bloody seriously.
Yeah.
For a drinking, smoking, sporty nation.
But I love that is kind of the Irish attitude, isn't it? A little bit. It's like, we'll fix that problem here and now, sorted. No hassle, done. Yeah.
They think so.
And do you, obviously, the smoking helps calm the nerves. And do you get nervous? Like, we heard Gemma earlier in her podcast. Can you relate in any way to that kind of nerve?
Yeah, I think every sport across the discipline, you get nervous.
Mm.
The day you get nervous is the day to give up.
Yeah.
People,
the day you don't get nervous.
The day you don't get nervous is the day to give up, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I think every sport across the board. No, is nervous the correct word? I'm not sure. Apprehensive, so on.
Excited.
I have a rule. Now, hopefully we keep going for another few years. I don't mind this apprehension, this nervousness, but once you leave the start box,
that's gone.
If you carry that to the first fence, put up the hands and give up the job. But it's a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never been around Babington.
So, well, it is.
And absolutely no intention to. I'm very happy waiting for you guys at the finish.
You speak about nerves. I don't know, not many of you will remember Matt Ryan. I remember Matt Ryan won an Olympic medal in Barcelona 92. Before every cross-country 3-day, we used to have a D-box, we used to have the roads and tracks, the steeplechase, it was boring as shit. We used to smoke loads on the roads and tracks. That was before the smoking ban. Anyway, poor old Matt Ryan. That's where Matt Ryan went wrong, he didn't smoke. But he used to come in, and every 10-minute box before he went cross-country, he was puking guts out. And I remember, Lucinda will remember that. He used to be as sick, so I guess he was nervous.
Jesus. Lying under a rug in the corner.
Being sick.
Oh, yeah. My God. I think that's like... And then
so he took it to the extreme, but he didn't keep going that long after.
But then I think that's where you get the difference between... Like, someone like that, if they're physically being sick, they are definitely nervous. That's the body... Like, the body's response of saying, take the blood away from the stomach, put it in the muscle so we can fight off light. Mm. I always used to say that I was feeling nervous before performances. And then I used to freak myself out by saying I was nervous. So then one thing I've made as a change in my mindset is if my wife says to me, she says, are you nervous? I say, no, I'm ready. I feel ready.
Yeah.
Okay. And even, like, in the weeks, months leading up to an event, it's like... You start getting in that zone as the date creeps closer, don't you? And you're like, I'm just ready. And I think that's such a healthy, like you say, because the difference between that and nervousness, I think, is knowledge. Because you've got that readiness in the start box because you're anticipating about what could happen. But once you're doing it, it's happening. And that idea of anybody who gets genuinely nervous, feeling sick, try and have, like I would, I don't know what you think about
He's
this.
Way too deep for me.
I know, right, yeah.
Kind of over that one.
Oh, my fucking...
Sorry, Ben, we get the message.
Oh, my God, you are literally so perfect for this podcast. It's so brilliant.
Oh,
my God, that's so funny. I've lost track now. Fuck it. Right, you take over, do my job. You've left the start box.
Yeah, so I'm okay.
All right. So, horsemanship.
Yes.
You were talking about that you loved the honest chat.
Yeah.
What is it? So I've been lucky enough to work with the likes of Shane Breen, who I think is a fucking amazing horseman, like unbelievable, and a lot of the Irish guys. And then I was chatting to Carl Hester last night, and I just said, Ben is an incredible horseman. Simon is an incredible horseman. You are an incredible horseman. What I just feel like this is where it's very hard, because we all want to be able to teach people how to ride better and do it. But that being able to read a horse, that's what I think horsemanship is, being able to look at a horse and being able to read it and understand it and translate it. And am I right in thinking that? I don't think you can teach horsemanship in some ways.
No, I think you're right. I mean, you've mentioned just two geniuses, Carl and Shane Breen. Geniuses, you know, Carl came from...
Sark.
Yep.
Shane came from the bogs of Tipperary. Like myself, you are, and I don't know the answer. I get so frustrated. I'd love to know the answer.
Mm.
How do you, listening to your conversation earlier? I think perhaps Ben, we're doing the full circle. You know, the managed North National or natural horsemanship, but the problem is with that. You know, with health and safety and all this crap. We're not, you know, our hands are tied, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a bit of a generation thing. But I think listening to your conversation, that's where I was coming from, that I think, you know, that is the right direction, that is the way back. But how do you make that happen?
Well, is it as simple as that, like, growing up, I assume, like, you'd be the same as me. I lived in the middle of nowhere. I had no phone, no health and safety, no one watching me. There was me, my mates, and horses and ponies. There was no one teaching us. No one doing that. You figure it out. Like, you get out there, you make mistakes.
So it is learned, then? Because I'm saying it's not just natural. You do learn it by doing it. Like, you know, when you were going out hunting...
Yeah, but nobody cared about us, Ben, did they?
It's our childhood trauma.
Yeah.
It comes out the love for horses.
Yeah, look, but I guess times have changed and you've just got to look at it and introducing horsemanship in a different way.
Yeah. Do you teach?
Yes, I love teaching.
I'd be quite scared to have a lesson with
you. Thanks, Megan.
I'm
just trying to get that business off the floor.
Great. I would learn a lot.
I'm actually okay at teaching. No, I take a lot of pleasure out of it.
Yeah.
I am a little bit selective. But we've had, you know, again, I'm not a great social media out there person, but we've had lots of European medalists and contributed to a lot of people's successes under the, you know, if I was smart, I'd be shouting it from the rooftops. But no, I love coaching people that want to be coached.
Yes, that's, we've spoken about this before, haven't we? It's very hard. And one, we have this thing on it on the podcast, which is, what's your equestrian ick? And mine and Simon's and Ben's was, our equestrian ick is people who blame the horse for everything.
Or the trainer.
Or the trainer, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's never their
fault.
I remember,
whether it's Carl Hester or Tracy Robinson or Jill Watson, if I do shit, ultimately it's up to me. It's not, you know, but too many people blame the trainer and this and that. We're big enough and ugly enough to make our own decisions, and ultimately we're in the ring on our own. But you'd be amazed how many people do. Well, yes, looking for a...
Yeah.
Was his fault or her fault, or let's blame somebody. Just man up and, you know, take a bit of responsibility. We'll help you as coaches as best we can, but ultimately it's your own responsibility.
I think with what you do though, Ben, like with you guys, when you're competing, it's a very obvious, oh, you knocked a pole down, where were the holes in your training, or the dressage test didn't go well. But with you, it's a bit like...
I can blag the shit out of it.
Yeah, you can blag it. Oh, no, he was meant to leave the arena. I taught him to. And, like, do you know what I mean? Where's your kind of barometer of, like, how shit it's going?
My job... Right, when I was younger, it would be, it's going shit if the horses aren't doing what I'm asking them to. And then I realised that wasn't my job, to get horses to do stuff. My job was to make people smile, laugh, have a good time and clap. So when you learn to take that ego out of it and laugh at yourself, or just go along with it. Like, we're doing Herning in Denmark, and I took this horse in doing a solo act, and it just fucked off to the other end of the arena. And it just would knock... I was looking at it and giving it the signal, and it's just going, you know, like... And I know him really well, and I know at home, if he does that, he wants a roll. So I'm like, let's ham this up. So the horse has gone off, he's looking at me, I'm like, come back, no. And then I'm like, okay. Easy. Down.
It's the slot drop.
And then it plumbing lays down and rolls, and I know it's gonna, and then the crowd just go insane. So yeah, Liberty is 50% horsemanship, 50% sleight of hand. Like, just got go with them, see what they're doing.
But then that's the horsemanship element, isn't it? Knowing that your horse is going to roll.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because a lot of people don't see that. I don't think you guys that are so, like, when you do this for a living and you're successful at it because you are good horsemen, I don't think you can see that the like what you can do, that you can read the horse's cues, you can tell what they're going to do. It's not just habitual. It is because you know horses and you can read them. And I can promise you not everyone can do that.
But I think everyone can do it with what they do with their horse.
No, I don't
so
think
so, like,
they can.
If you guys, like, were walking a track or a course, you could go, oh, crap, that fence is going to give him trouble. That related distance this horse will struggle with, because they're the things you've repeatedly done with that horse, and you're gonna, you know, you have those memories of how that's happened. Whereas I, you know, mess around on the floor with them, so that's the things where I learn the things. And then, like, I'm lucky enough that I don't have to compete. So then, if I'm working the horses and I start to ask them to do something, then I can tell one of them's giving me a side eye that's like, nah, this ain't happening today. I'm like, cool, we changed plan. So it is. Like, that's where there's the difference in it.
I genuinely do not think that everybody can read their horses, like, in the same way and read the cues and understand. And I think a lot of it's ego gets in the way. Oh, the horse ran out. Oh, yeah, spooked or something. It's just like, well, did it? Or was it you? People aren't good at reflecting sometimes on their own faults. And it's very quick and easy to blame the horse. And I think you guys are so good at it. I'm a mere muggle. I'm, like, not good at it. But I think you guys do not see...
So that's the other way. You're too good at it. You take blame on yourself for things that aren't your fault.
But is that not just... life,
Like, why should everybody be a top horseman?
No, they shouldn't. They could,
why should everybody just be, you know, wonderful? You know, you can go to all these courses and come out with this degree in horsemanship. It's a select few. It's a niche.
Mm.
I was going to say Tottenham Football Club, but that's a bad example. You go to an academy in, let's say, Brentford, a proper football club in London.
Yeah. I'm a Millwall fan, so...
Or even Millwall, yeah. Proper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got a huge academy, you've got a huge beginning, but there's only selected fewer professional footballers at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we've got this expectation, but...
But the difference is you can't hurt a ball. A lot of people own horses that maybe shouldn't, and a horse is a living, breathing thing. And I don't think not everybody in the world will take... I'm being really kind of sorry. But I don't think everybody in the world who owns a horse takes the time to learn all the skills they should have to own a horse. And if you are shit at football, if that football gets burst, no one's going to cry over it. But I think that's where some of the welfare issues and things come from.
I think don't underestimate horses. And don't underestimate a horse standing up for itself.
Yeah, that's true.
And not taking shit or taking abuse from a moron.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, you know, they're big animals. They're a half a ton, 600 kgs. You're not going to bully a horse into submission if they're not working with you.
Yeah.
I think the horse will put you in its place.
Yeah. Has it?
Of course it has. Look at that. Just look at this fucking face. It's all right. So I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
I love that.
I poked the pony up its ass. The pony broke my jaw. Fair game.
I love the fact that it's this idea of like other people have a piece of paper that says degree. You're like, I have this.
Yeah.
This knee doesn't work when it's cold.
It doesn't, but I'm extremely privileged and we've got a great life and horses have taken me all over the world and I love horses.
Yeah. Well, we all do. That's why we do this. Yeah. Hashtag love of the horse.
Yes. Bottom line.
Yeah. That is exactly it. And someone wrote a brilliant poem about us. And it was this end... I can't read the poem, it makes me cry, but she basically wrote a poem about our podcast. And the end of it all was, we're all in it because we love the horse.
Yeah.
Who's been your favourite horse of all time? Doesn't have to be the one that won you Colorado Blue or anything. Like, who's the horse that, if you would go, that was my... I just love that horse. Who sticks out?
Sure, I love many horses for many different reasons.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the most talented. Simply Rhett in 99, she put me on the map.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
I had an Irish hunter who took me into the Olympics in 2000. I've just been blessed.
Yeah.
I've been very, very lucky. I've met good horses and good horses have met me.
I love that line. Oh, I'm getting waved at. We've got more questions. It's my time.
Sorry.
No, don't apologise. We can literally talk about
that. So going ahead, Austin, into 2025, what are the aims? What's the plan?
So the aim is to win badminton.
Excellent.
Yes. I think you've got some cheerleaders here.
Yeah.
Gemma's not clapping.
All right. I'm quite happy to be on the podium with Gemma. As long as she's to my left or right. And another blonde on my other side. Sharing the podium with two blondes.
That's the goal.
Look, and then what else? That's it. And I've got some lovely young horses coming through, and I take as much, if not more, pleasure in them. Hope they come to fruition, and yeah, just, you know, I'm 50 odd now, and so I'm just looking forward to, you know, another good year's eventing.
And how do you go about it, Oscar? Do you buy them as 4-year-olds? Do you breed them? Do you break them yourself? Do you?
We generally buy most of ours as 3-year-olds. We're very lucky to have some very good owners, patrons, and so they'll send us horses. They'll send us horses they've bred, or we're lucky enough they'll buy for us. You know, they're not all superstars, but if they can you know, if we can have a bit of fun. The bottom line is about fun. It's about giving the owners fun, us having fun. We get frustrated, of course we do, as competitors. If I mess up, you don't want to meet me for 24 hours.
And it's at Hartbury this year, Austin fell in the water.
I bet he's happy to be reminded of that.
Yeah, and you made a really stupid comment, actually.
I was really bad.
Yeah, I thought it was Lucinda commentating. It was you, wasn't it?
What was it? No, wait,
I was walking down to the start, and he was coming back, and I'd just seen him fall. And I was raging. And he was really angry. And I think I said something like, he said, was that my fault? Was like, should I have not come off?
And he said it was.
No, I said, if I was you, I'd be a little bit disappointed.
And you know what, he was probably right.
But at that moment in time, it's like,
because this man, he's so cool, and I was like, you've got to be honest, Simon, no bullshit.
I remembered it. And I don't know Simon that well, but I remember it. It really pissed me off. It's all right.
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
I didn't fall off the next day.
You need to do what Gemma does to him. It's he's caught her across the showground. He's rung her, and she's gone to answer her phone, and she's seen it's him and put it back in her pocket. So if you do that from now on, we'll think it's perfectly acceptable.
I admired your... I mean, it's away from the bullshit, you were honest. In your opinion, you were honest.
But when you watched it back, what did you think? Or did you not bother watching it back?
The camera angle was terrible. But I didn't make the same mistake the next day. And he was very good and placed in Blenheim, so...
Nah, perfect.
Well, there you go. Made a comeback.
Made a comeback.
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw it out. Has anyone got any questions? Everyone, this is where everyone goes all very shy and quiet. Yeah. But has anyone... Or any from this side of the corner? Like, Lucinda looks like... Have you got any questions for Austin?
Fire away.
Before we...
Yeah, I
want
to know what happened.
Oh, wait there. We'll get a microphone on you. Here we go. Look at this. We're going to sing.
She was far.
Oh, there was someone at the back. Oh, okay, sorry. You've been gazumped, Lucinda. Yeah. You just gazumped Lucinda Green. Here we go.
No pressure.
I feel like my question is a good enough to do that, but I was just going to ask, like, you know, you said that, you know, you feel really nervous before and then you get in Starbucks and you have to leave and you just have to leave behind. Would you say there's any kind of way in which you compartmentalise that fear and leave it and put it in that box and leave it behind, or do you think it just kind of happens naturally and that's like your kind of athlete's brain?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just an athlete's brain, really. You just, yeah, it's apprehension, it's nerves, you can call it. Probably somebody smarter than me would come up with a bigger, better word.
I know, but
English word.
It'll take all fucking day, so don't ask.
Fair enough. So no, once I leave the staff box, then it's on a mission, job done. But the build-up is bloody horrible sometimes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Go hunting
Great question.
In Ireland and you won't be scared of the cross-country.
I have been hunting in Ireland. Lucinda.
Can I ask this question, Austin? Mm-hmm. I want you to know how much I have admired these last few years of your cross-country riding. It's just gone out of orbit for just real natural riding. So it's lovely to have you get up here and say what you did about the natural horsemanship. But I'm still confused, and I've actually wanted to text you, but I've never got round to it, as to what happened at the coffin at Burley.
Uh-oh. What? Lucinda. There were 6 flags. There was 3 red flags and 3 white flags. Okay? I went through the 6 flags. Clear.
I thought there was a whoops at the first
end.
No, that was the
lead. Yeah, it was... No, Amy. No, it wasn't. I don't. No.
So did you?
I gave it a shit ride to the first bit, but I got away with it. So I started.
Amy, come on.
No, I don't know what they're talking about.
And for anyone listening to this on the podcast, Amy is Austin's wife.
I just remember Austin. Because we'd watched masses of people come down the hill with that coffin in quite a small canter.
Yeah.
And you came down with quite an increasing gap.
You're right.
And I'm thinking, why has Austin done that? And I've always wanted to ask you, do you mind?
No, but I got away with it.
Yeah.
But you're right, I didn't give it a great ride. But I got away with it, so why overanalyze? A goal is a goal. A lucky goal or a brilliant goal?
Yeah.
A goal is a goal.
But listen.
But was it the watch that wanted to just save that second?
No, it was a bad ride.
I'm terribly flattered by your honesty.
I like the honesty.
I had a very... It's a very good question, sorry. I'm not being trying to be smart. The year before, I didn't have a very good birdie. And I made a bit of a holex of the Discovery Valley going out. And I'd say that actually played my mind a little bit. So I made a decision. I overrode us.
Yeah. That's really good to hear.
It obviously didn't look as beautiful. I'm amazed that it's stuck in your mind.
Have you not met Lucinda?
She
yeah, she's like an elephant.
I made a mistake. I got away with the mistake.
Austin, what I love about your response is that there was something from last year, and that's
yeah, there so was, human. And I hadn't thought
that.
About it.
Yeah, and then afterwards you realise that may be the influence.
Yeah, and he's not the bravest. Through a coffin scenario, as wonderful he is, he's not that. He won't drag you down there. Yeah. You're right. I didn't give him a great ride, but I got away with it.
Yes, good man.
Right, boys, have you got any more questions before we wrap this up? My face is hurting. I've laughed so much.
No, I'm good.
I have a feeling this might continue later on into the small hours.
If I do Dublin again, will you come drinking?
Without a doubt.
Excellent. That is a date. And we've got a little present for you as well.
Oh, bless.
And just before we let you go, just want to give another shout out to the Ligon Arms where we are. Austin, you're staying here as well. I know that Amy's
thank
already been to the
much.
Gym. Your extreme bands.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yes, enjoy staying in the beautiful hotel. Amy's already checked out the gym and the spa facilities. I think you guys will agree that was probably the most honest podcast we've ever had.
Oh, really?
That was fucking brilliant. Also, I got to say, shut up and ride.